Thank you for tuning in for Tune Up with Deb, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association. Now back to your host, Deb Ross.
This Canada Day weekend, we've been talking about the biggest financial concern expressed by Canadians in an annual survey for this year, which happens to be paying off debts. Now, we've discussed a strategy for paying down debt called the snowball strategy. The snowball strategy can be very effective because of the increasing payment amount for each creditor that you've listed when you sat down, looked at your financials, and decided that today is the day to attack your debt. Now, just before the break, I started addressing an issue that is quite difficult for people to think about and kind of get details on, and that happens to be bankruptcy. So some folks want to avoid this item in our toolbox of financial tools because there's a certain social stigma attached to it. But the truth is, the Bankruptcy Act is perhaps the most merciful piece of legislation that we have available to us as Canadians. I am so proud to be a Canadian, and I am so proud as a Canadian that we have the bankruptcy legislation available to people who are in pain concerning finances. Bankruptcy essentially releases you from debt obligations that you are legitimately unable to pay for whatever reason. Now, the whatever reason, there are restrictions that apply to that, and there are restrictions that apply to the actual debts that we're released from. For example, a parent is not going to be released from child support debts, as one example. That's a matter for the court, not for bankruptcy. But when an individual or a couple is drowning in credit card debt and other forms of consumer debt, our government graciously offers them this second chance. So the question may be, why do people become insolvent? The most common reasons are job loss, a business failure, an illness or disability, a relationship breakdown, a death in the family. These are common life events which can happen to anyone, and you probably know people in your circle that have experienced one or more of those common life events. Another reason, which is unfortunately becoming far too common, is helping out family members who are in financial need. All too often, the end result is that the person trying to help out their adult son or daughter ends up in even more financial trouble than the person that they were initially trying to help. So most individuals who are facing these type of circumstances are only seeing their pain, and they just want that pain to go away. Now, this totally makes sense, but it also makes them so vulnerable than ever, since they're making decisions based on their pain. Now, this pain is real, and the pain is important, but it doesn't make a good guide for our decision-making process. So if you find yourself in this position, I'm speaking to you. Please hear my heart as I'm speaking to you. You would be wise to consider shopping for a bankruptcy trustee that you would be comfortable working with. You can phone multiple bankruptcy firms and get together with 1, 2, 3 trustees to decide whom you would trust. Now, please remember, the bankruptcy process isn't just one meeting. It is a process that you walk through and you work through. So it is important that you're comfortable working with not just that trustee, but the other staff within the firm. Now, the trustee you meet with can also confirm whether you should be considering bankruptcy or perhaps a consumer proposal, or whether there might be a better option available for you outside of the Bankruptcy Act. Please remember, there is no obligation involved when you meet with the trustee, and nothing is reported to the credit bureau or to your creditors. Those meetings and you phoning and asking questions, it is strictly confidential. So thank you for listening to that. I am so grateful that we have the Bankruptcy Act available in Canada for Canadians who are suffering in pain. And I would love to be able to communicate with folks who are drowning in debt that this is an option that they can explore without adding to the pain of what they're already feeling. Now, let's jump forward. Let's say that you've done the debt snowball, you've completed it, or you've gone through a bankruptcy filing. Either way, you're debt-free now. Now, how do we keep living debt-free? Now, the debt snowball and the bankruptcy may or may not have addressed the actual root cause of why we had this looming debt load in the first place, which happens to be our financial spending habits. So I'd like to offer one effective strategy to you and go through an explanation process of this strategy for managing household spending. Now, this is a program that I recommend to my clients, and I work with my clients to not only explain it, but also to implement it into their financial habits. And it has been so successful. I'm going to call it the three account system. Number one, again, you're going to make yourself a good cup of tea or a lovely cup of coffee and sit down and take a look at your monthly spending and identify which expenses you're continually making decisions about and which ones are your committed expense. So you've made that decision a long time ago and basically you don't revisit that decision every month. You just pay your car loan or you just pay your mortgage or you pay your rent. Now, while you're doing this, it's a good opportunity to evaluate whether the expenses that you've been deciding to do each month are expenses that you're going to maintain. So if you need to cost save or cut some costs back, this is a good opportunity to take a look at that. Next, you're going to set up three bank accounts at your favorite financial institution. Now, you might want to shop for fees since some accounts have no transaction fees and other accounts have exorbitant transaction fees. Now, you've been used to using one account for all your deposits and all your spending, and it's all mixed together and it's all going through one account, and that equals confusion. So this system separates categories of spending and makes it more easily to manage. So these three accounts, one of the accounts, well, let's just call it the fixed expense account. This is the main account. All deposits from every source, so government child tax credits, income tax refunds, your employer, GST rebates, whatever income, whatever cash comes into your hands directly goes into this account. All fixed payments, such as your mortgage payment, a life insurance payment, car insurance, equal billing on utility payments, and any other fixed expense that is the same payment each month, are set up as automatic payments out of this account. Now, your savings, your monthly savings, should be set up from this account as well. No other expenses come out of this account. You do not have a debit card attached to this account. This is all deposits and all fixed expenses is the only money going out of this account. The second account we'll call your annual expense account. This is where money is transferred monthly from that fixed expense account that is going to go towards bills that you pay on an annual basis, such as property taxes, or perhaps you pay your home insurance in one lump sum, Christmas spending, the annual vacation, and anything else in your situation that comes up just once a year. So that is going to serve as a savings account so that those annual obligations are met in full each and every year without using debt and without having to finance monthly payments. Now, the third and final account, let's call it the spending account. So basically, whatever amount is left over after setting up the automatic payments to your fixed expenses and the monthly transfer to the annual expense account is going to go into this account. This is your spending account. It's to be used for your discretionary expenses, the ones that you decide whether to make or not. And the amounts, of course, can change from month to month as well. So this account is where you have your debit card attached to. So this is buying groceries, buying clothes, entertainment, taking the kids to the swimming pool, fuel for your vehicle, and things that just come up that you may or may not buy, but basically on a whim. So this is your spending account. Now, some of us prefer to withdraw some of that money as cash each week and spend from cash as opposed to a debit card. But that really is for the control freaks in our society. Me, might be me, maybe. So that really is maximum control of spending. But even using a debit card is far better than using a credit card for your discretionary spending because you're limited. You're on purpose transferring a certain amount of money to that account. Your debit credit card only accesses that account. You can't access the money that you're in your deposit account, your fixed expenses account, and your debit card cannot access the money in your annual savings account. You can only access the money that you can spend, that you've already worked out. You're free to spend. Guilt-free, and it's not going to create a situation next month that you don't have enough money to cover your car payment or your mortgage, etc. There was a question that I wasn't able to get to last week in our grab bag episode, so I wanted to make sure that I answered it today. This comes from a listener, and they ask a very simple and straightforward question: when does borrowing make sense? Thank you for that question. It seems like a very honest question. So the best approach to this question is to consider the goal behind the borrowing. Are you looking at, for example, rebuilding credit? Are you wanting to acquire more assets? Or are you just wanting to buy stuff to consume or maybe take a vacation? Once we identify and test the motive behind the desire for the debt, the answer is usually pretty clear. Typically, the wise use of credit is first of all planned and used to purchase assets that will increase in value over time. So the example of a car loan doesn't provide you with an asset that will increase your net worth or increase in value over time. But if your goal was to be rebuilding your credit, a car loan can be very beneficial. And as you can see, the goal makes all the difference in whether credit is a good idea or whether it's going to turn out to be a trap. As a general rule, only use credit to purchase assets that will increase in value over time, such as a home. And never use credit for consumable purchases, such as groceries or eating out at restaurants or for vacations. These types of expenses pile up debt very quickly and provide zero return. So this brings us to the end of our time today. Beginning next week, I'll be returning to guest interviews. And over the next couple of weeks, we'll be looking at community crime and how to protect ourselves from becoming victims. And we'll discuss current estate planning tools and issues. If you don't have plans for the Canada Day weekend, our community has a celebration planned. However you choose to spend the day, I wish you a wonderful, happy Canada Day 2018, and we'll talk again soon.
A half-hour financial advice program, Tune Up with Deb, is produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George. Deb Ross is an accredited financial counselor with Intune Financial Solutions in Prince George. Be listening for Tune Up with Deb each week at this time. For previous shows or more information on Intune Financial Solutions, visit intunefinancial.ca.